You have to eat dry roti. So you are not very happy. But you are thinking, you just made a phone call to some devotee somewhere and they said, oh Prabhu, today is a festival day. By noon we will bring you Radhashtami feast. Festival feast we will bring for you from the temple. Full plate will bring you 12 course items. So you will be so delighted. So the sukha roti doesn't make any sense for you after that. When they bring the lunch from the temple, you have a big plate. Then even while eating that prasad, if a beggar comes, you will, from the window, you will give it out, give away your dry roti, isn't it? But till the prasadam reaches your train, kuch bharosa nahi, there is no assurance, isn't it? So therefore, you will wait till it comes. And then imagine, they tell you, Prabhuji, we got stuck in the traffic, we are sorry, we couldn't reach the train. It will take us another half an hour to come, but the train is already leaving from the station, we are sorry. Although we had a great desire to serve you, you know, today there is some procession of Ramjan or something. You couldn't come. Sorry. Then that dry roti becomes all important for you. Because that's the only thing you have. You can't eat anything outside. Then the dry roti, dry sabji, you manage with it. Isn't it? In the same manner in spiritual life also, even when we are in a lower stage, the higher stages, some information about them, knowledge about them, is very important. Rasavarjyam rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate. Similarly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, there are many verses. Tatranbaham Krishna katha pragayatam anugrahena shrinavam manohara tashraddhaya amenu padam vishrinvataha priyashravasyanga mama bhavad ruchi. Ruchi, he says, I developed a taste by what? By hearing from those Mahabhagavatas. By hearing from them, Krishna Katha, like that Dasiputra, who became Narada, says this. By their mercy, they allowed me to hear from them. By hearing Krishna Katha from those souls who were delighting in Krishna Katha, they were floating in bliss, but I was a neophyte. I was confused and bewildered, but then by hearing them, all my confusions and doubts and anxieties, everything went away. Then I also developed a taste in their association, he says. Yeah. In the same manner, there is a verse which says, Shushrusho Shraddhadanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. That is also Ruchi said. By serving great souls, one develops Ruchi. You can serve them in two ways, either Vapu Seva or Vani Seva. Both will give us Ruchi. Similarly, there is another verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which talks about taste. Na Vaijano Jatu Katanchana Vrajen Mukundase Vyanjabadanga Samsritim Smaran Mukundangri Upaguhanam Punar Vihatumichen Narasagraho Janaha. Now the word rasa is also ruchi here. He says that if somebody is a Krishna devotee, due to some reason he slipped and fell down. What loss is there? I was hearing one Prabhupada lecture. Prabhupada says that if a devotee, even the early stage of Krishna consciousness, he slips and falls due to material desire, what is the problem? Shuchinam shimatam gehe. He'll be born, he'll go to heaven, where he will eat nice food. He will fulfill all his material desires in the heaven. In this way, the fallen devotee gets to lead a very happy life. As per his understanding of what is happiness at that stage. If he thinks, you know, having apsaras, you know, taking a nice fresh air in Nandanandana garden, eating basmati rice, molten ghee, living in palatial buildings, hearing some Hindustani or Carnatic music, putting kala very nice in heaven. If that is his standard of happiness, he gets that. Isn't it? So, and after that, when he comes to earth also, he is born in the family of Brahmanas or Vaishyas. Prabhupada says, what loss is there? And then he says, in case a devotee has advanced a lot, and then he couldn't complete the term in that particular life, then he becomes Kulair Bhavati Dhimatam. He is born in the home of Acharyas and Vaishnava, great Vaishnavas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur or our Abhay was born to Gaur Mohande. You know, very wonderful, pious and spiritual family. So they are born in the great Bhakta Yogi family. And such a person becomes an Acharya. Very great. So then what loss is there? Materially also, one gets to fulfill sense gratification in heaven and come back. And spiritually and religiously also, if you see, one has opportunity. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, But one should not cultivate material desires in Krishna consciousness, thinking that anyway, these three opportunities are there. Shuchinam, Shrimatam, and Kulair Bhavati Dhimatam. These three are there. No. He says that if you are born in a Brahmana family, you may become a proud Brahmana with Vedic scholarship and no bhakti. Similarly, if you are a Vaishya and you have a lot of wealth, you can become like Nalakur Manigrive. And both of them can lead to danger. Therefore, Prabhupada says, in this life itself, we should try to become fully Krishna conscious. So the idea is, we should try to develop the ruchi in this life in such a way that we should go to a point of no return. Once we attain such a taste, then there is no pass, then there is no question of taking a U-turn and coming. So, therefore, even a fallen devotee, there is no loss. He says that, Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna pakvottapate tato yadi yatrakva vabhadrama bhudamushyakim kovartha apto abhajatam swadharmatah. If somebody is doing his swadharma very nicely, kovartha apto, he is saying that what gain is there? Ajamila was faithfully doing his swadharma, and then one day he saw a dirty sight and he fell down. So how did the swadharma help him? This is long period of doing swadharma did not help him. One chanting of the holy name saved him from Yamadutas. Just chanting Narayana, that one chant saved him from the Yamapash. You can see that how powerful the path of bhakti yoga is. So whenever we talk of anything in Krishna consciousness, we should actually extol the glory of bhakti yoga over swadharma acharana. Because Lord Chaitanya did that while talking to Ramananda Raya. He rejected swadharma acharana. He even karma falatyaga. Then he even swadharma tyaga also he rejected. Giving up one's swadharma also he rejected. Even karma fala arpan to Krishna also he didn't accept, because many people don't have a clear understanding of whom are they offering results to, Brahma Jyoti or demigods or Krishna. They're not very clear. And therefore, he only accepted that verse, Jnana Shunya Bhakti. That's what he accepted. What is it? Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sant mukharitam bhavadiya vartham sthane sthita shruti gatam tanu van manobir e prayasho ajita jitopyasita strelokyam. In this verse he says, what should we do in this day and age also? Situate yourself in one of the ashramas, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, whatever ashram is suitable for you, and do hearing and chanting. He says, one should hear from our hearing and chanting should become our jivanam. What is our jivanam, our livelihood? You have to hear jivanti sant mukaritam. Avadiya Vartam. One should hear the glories of the Lord. Shrutigatam. One should hear. And because hearing and chanting is Bhagavata Vidhi. Situate yourself in whatever ashram is comfortable. Whichever ashram helps you to become stable in hearing and chanting, stable in devotional service, that is the best ashram for a devotee. And that is actually what Lord Chaitanya accepted. He said, Yeha Haya, he said, Age Kaha Ar. And then beyond that, Jnana Shunya Bhakti, then he, Mahaprabhu didn't even accept Jnana Mishra Bhakti also. He didn't accept it. Jnana Shunya accepted. And after that, gradually it was brought to, Bhakti Yoga, in which Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, then Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, then Prema Bhakti. In Prema Bhakti stage, then five rasas, it went ahead. Mahaprabhu appreciated it. Tell me more, he went ahead. So the idea is, we should situate ourselves in the platform of hearing and chanting and develop that higher taste. Even if we fall in the path of bhakti, there is no loss. Krishna is always there, even for a fallen devotee. In fact, Prabhupada explains in one place, what is the meaning of Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati? Prabhupada says, a devotee is not permanently defeated anytime. If somebody was a brahmachari, he got married, he is not defeated. Even if he had a desire for material enjoyment, okay, he went out, took a job, got married, we got some few children. Quickly, kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantim negachati. Even if somebody falls prey to even abominable habit, Still, because of the bhakti that he did before, he will very quickly come back to Krishna's lotus feet. The old taste will not allow him to continue in material life for a prolonged period of time. So a devotee will not be permanently defeated, one can be assured. That is one thing. Kaunteya pratidhanehi name bhakta pranashyati. Krishna gives the assurance. And another thing, but if a devotee is weak-hearted, but he is very faithful to Krishna, and sticking on to Krishna's lotus feet, then such a devotee will not fall down at all. There are people like that. And those who are very weak, they were always saying, "Oh Prabhu, please give me shelter. Oh Bhagavan, please give me shelter. Oh Gurudev, please give shelter." Simply praying, "Give me shelter, give me shelter, give me shelter." They went to shelter, ultimate shelter. There are people like that. It's not that a weak devotee has necessarily fall also. Weak devotee holding on to Krishna's lotus feet has gone back to Godhead. So therefore, we all need the taste so that we will not fall down. We need the higher taste. Therefore, this seminar is very important. And this is part 5, but part 1 to 4, 1 to 2, I have made it summarized here. Out of part 1 to 4, I have summarized 1 and 2 here briefly, and then 3 and 4 I have shown a little more elaborately. Please read it quickly.
Control of the gross and subtle senses is the primary characteristic of steady devotional service.
How do you know you have come to Nishtha or not? That means the gross and the subtle senses should have become controlled. Like the gross senses, for example, when we are dealing with body, words, they're all gross senses, isn't it? Like the hands, the legs, the genitals, the rectum and the speech. These are the karmendriyas. And jnanendriyas, you know, shabda, sparsha, rasa, rupa, gandha, when we are dealing. So, how are these gross external senses functioning? Are they doing asad cheshta or sat cheshta? Asad cheshtas are explained in Nectar of Instruction verse 1 and 2. And sat cheshta is explained in verse number 3 of Nectar of Instruction. So now we can observe ourselves. Are my gross senses doing 1 and 2 verses, or are they engaging in 3? Based on that, we can know whether the primary characteristics are observable in us, whether I have become steady. If somebody says, "Prabhuji, I am doing sometimes this, sometimes that," that means we have not become steady. We are utsahamayi, ganatarala, vyudavikalpa, niyamakshama, and then, you know, tarangarangini, all those, similarly, laya, vikshepa, and all those things are there. Anarthas are still there. We have not yet come to steady stage here. Yes.
Its secondary characteristic is the consistency with which the qualities favorable to devotion become fixed in the devotee's character.
Yeah. And also the qualities like, you know, humility, tolerance, respect for all, not expecting any respect in return. And also Tritikshava, Karunika, Surda Sarvadehina, Ajata Shatrava, Shantaha, Sadhava Sadhubhushana. All these qualities also should be observable in the devotee, because these are very anukul for advancing in bhakti. Next.
Steadiness appears first in service done with the body, then in words, and finally in the mind.
Yes. And like book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, preaching, you know, taking part in the morning program. So, and rendering services like deity worship, you know, washing the pots, doing gardening. So one should be very enthusiastically engaged in service done. Then we can say he's a steady devotee. You know, Prabhu, last 10 years is distributing books. You know, Prabhu is going for preaching last 10 years. Steady devotee, based on his service. Yeah. And then gradually, then one's words should become refined. How one speaks, how one conducts one's. One's words are not. One's words or the conduct is not showing one's behavior like a Vaishnava, that means one still is dealing with anarthas. Then afterwards, one's mind becomes steady. That's the third stage. Next.
All acharyas agree that steadiness becomes complete when all three, body, words and mind, are fixed in their spiritual functions.
Respective spiritual functions, yeah. That means body is engaged in seva, now words are engaged in glorifying Krishna and glorifying Vaishnavas, and the mind is engaged in chanting the holy name always remembering Krishna. In this way, all of them should be engaged in the respective spiritual functions. Yeah.
Ultimately, any devotee who is truly sincere and humble and who is steady in sadhana will soon be free from all rough edges and become an ideal person. This is the import of the following verse, often quoted by Srila Prabhupada.
The famous verse, Yasya Asti Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinchana, Sarvair Gunais Tatra Samaste Suraya. Next.
Devotees who chant constantly with unflinching faith are purified and unaffected by Kali Yuga.
Here is a secret, how to keep ourselves like a bulletproof layer around us, to be not affected by Kali Yuga. You all know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a Narayan Kavacha shield which was put up over Indra. It is actually not a kind of metallic kavach or, you know, some kind of bulletproof jeep or something like that. It is actually a mantra touching different parts of the body, and chanting mantras protects that part of the body. Just like you find Yashoda and other gopis, they were, in order to protect Krishna by waving a tail of a cow, isn't it? They chanted different names of Vishnu in different parts of the body of Krishna, isn't it? In the same manner, the chanting of the holy name also, Narayan Kauchil is also like that. Similar to that, we are all chanting Hare Krishna, and to the degree we actually chant constantly, more and more we chant, and chant with very good attention and absorption, then the Kali Yuga agents all around us, although they are trying to poke themselves into our system, they are unable to enter inside. The chanting of the holy name acts like a vaccination kind of thing. Just like they say, you know, even the coronavirus, if immunity level is very high, then it finds it difficult to live in the body. It can live for a while, but when the immunity increases, it will be driven out. In the same manner, you know, the virus of Maya, namely lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion, these things can only enter into the heart and mind of a devotee who is very weak in chanting, inattentive in chanting, distracted in chanting, and does not chant in Brahma Muhurta, is casual. So because of that, we are allowing the Kali Yuga viruses to enter our system. So therefore, one can take note that we have to chant attentively and constantly. Yeah.
The essence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's comment is that neophyte devotees must steadily increase their rounds to a minimum of 64. Although three times that number is recommended for those eager to quickly achieve perfection, once devotees are committed to chanting a certain number of rounds, they must stick to their vow.
Yeah. Now, in our Pune temple, we have given the freedom to devotees. You know, Ekadashi day, you know, you can take off from all service and you can just focus on chanting more rounds. Even your other preaching engagements and other things, you can cut down and then you can chant more. Why? Because if we don't load ourselves well with the, you know, bullets, then how are we going to, you know, fight the war against Maya when we go out? So, but despite being given this opportunity, right from the early days, I've seen since 95 up to now, few devotees certainly chant more rounds. But we have not made it official or very strong or something like that. But it is in our own interest in spiritual life that we have to chant more rounds on special days like Ekadashi day, festival days, 25 rounds, 32 rounds, 50 rounds, 64 rounds, if possible. And then in case one is unable to chant more than 64, then one can do more services that day by reading Shravanam and Kirtanam on Ekadashi days, prepare oneself. Because what happens is, as we spend more number of years, if we don't destroy the avidya or ignorance in our heart, it remains. Because of not increasing rounds and because of not chanting constantly and attentively, eventually like a termite is eating up the beam from inside. One day you suddenly find the termite collapsing. I mean, the beam collapsing because of internally eaten termite virus or something. Similarly, a devotee who is cultivating material desires in the heart without cleansing them, committing 10th offense, and externally he is busy with services, suddenly one day will collapse. He won't be able to continue because he has not taken time and effort to destroy the material desire seeds called Kama Karma Bijas. So, and also, we all struggle on other days with our anger, with our lust, and with our greed. Everybody knows that. So, if you are already warring against them, and we are not sufficiently strong enough to conquer them, then why not take our time to chant more? It may not be very pleasurable. Always we want something pleasurable even in spiritual life. So that is not a very good, it's a childish tendency. You know, even though it may not be very pleasurable to chant more rounds, one should struggle actually. Because, you know, it's not a question of how successfully you can, you know, blissfully chant the holy name. It's not that. It's all about Krishna becomes pleased with our endeavor, with our struggle. Poor fellow is unable to chant, still he's struggling to call my name. He feels pity for us. If, just like he felt pity for Yashoda also when he saw the perspiration drops. Drishtva parishtramam Krishna kripya asit svabandane. He became bound by her ropes. So we should actually, just like for example, if you are studying in a college, you ask any student in IIT, if you are going to do M.Tech or doctorate and all, you have to publish papers. If you don't publish papers, your doctorate is useless. Your doctorate thesis should be converted into papers. Multiple papers you have to publish, 5 or 10 or 15 papers like that. So you cannot do mediocre work and expect it to be published in an international magazine. So they struggle hard. They go to the lab, and I have personal experience in IIT when we were publishing papers also. So in the same manner, students actually put in their time and energy to do that work properly. In the same manner, we are devotees. So in devotional service, how many times it is stressed? The chanting of the holy name gives you 90% advancement, but we take it very lightly. We don't increase the rounds and we don't make a struggle to endeavor to hear attentively. That means we are actually digging our own grave by this. Therefore, see, 3 times 64, everybody knows who was chanting that. Who was chanting 3 times 64? Haridasa Thakur chanted and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur chanted for 10 years like that. After that, he actually became Avaduta. He became so purified. Then only he started the Gaudiya Math, our Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had gone to Mayapur. There he made a small facility for chanting every day 3 lakh names. And when it would rain, you just put umbrella above him and continue chanting. Somebody said, this umbrella is too small. Why didn't you build something? He said, if I go to build something, time will go. Therefore, I am chanting like this. He was chanting. Later on, one gentleman came to know that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's very great son, Raya Vishnu, is chanting there. He wanted to go and meet him. So when he went to Mayapur, he saw from the Ganga flowing. From there, one great personality came out. So he saw, here is the son of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And he wanted to start a center in Calcutta for preaching. So he talked to him. He saw this personality was in great ecstasy, jumping out of water, Nitai Gaur Haribol, like that he was chanting and running like an avaduta in Mayapur. So he thought that how will he start? This person start, he is not in external consciousness. He is chanting 3 lakh names every day. And then after many years later, one day in his own house, somebody battered the door. And he opened the door. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was in sannyas vesh. He had taken sannyas that time. And then he said, now I am ready. Are you ready to help me put up a matha now? My 10 years of 3 lakh names I have done. Now I want to start something very wonderful now. Then he started Gaudiya Math. 64 mathas he established, you can see. So, and that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, my Guru Maharaj is like a motor. And I am like a fan. I am doing lot of activity. People are appreciating, but they don't know that this fan is rotating because it has a connection to motor, which is chanting. Who is my guru? My guru's purity in chanting is actually helping me to do great activities because of he has given me order. So I am able to do these wonderful things. So that internal purification results in external expansion of the spiritual movement. Same thing with our Srila Prabhupada. Lifetime in preparation, 45 years of preparation and dedication and commitment and surrender and purification. Then when he went to West, he did so many wonderful things. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is recommending us to increase our rounds. Especially yesterday was Ekadashi Day, such a wonderful day. So we should know that just like in Karmi world, you know, they put in their best efforts for making money. And our money is Chintamani, Dham. We want a Chintamani, Dham. So naturally, we have to also be very passionate about advancing in spiritual life. Otherwise, you know, if we are doing every other thing in this world and say that along with that little bit of spiritual life will not do. So whether we are brahmacharis or grihasthas, both have to take seriously. But out of the two, the people in the three orders, brahmachari, vanaprastha and sannyas, they have no other business other than advancing in spiritual life. This is their primary business. Everything else should be secondary for them.
When one cannot complete fixed number of rounds, one is considered to be in a diseased condition of spiritual life.
Yeah, our struggle also is a representation of our disease. And then if we are not completing the round, that's an even more serious disease. Yeah.
Yes. When one is fit to chant Krishna's Shuddha Naam, prior to attaining steadiness, devotees can at best chant the
Namabhas. Before Nishtha, we chant only Namabhas. From Nishtha onwards, if one is chanting Namabhas very nicely, the purification happens very completely, and the purification is complete in Nishtha. Complete in the sense, only aparadha remains. Apart from aparadha, most of it, there is also some other things also, but they are all very small amounts. That doesn't pose as a stumbling block in further advancement. So, and then he is saying that when they acquire full firm faith, they become free of all offenses. Then they are fit to chant Krishna's pure name. And as they chant, they rapidly advance towards love of God. Like for example, when Nishtha stage we come, the offense, except the lower nature like Bhakti Utta, Aparadhota, Dushkrutota, Sukrutota, all those things are there. But those are all cleared by Nishtha, most of them. Then after Nishtha comes Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. In that time, one is chanting purely. Therefore, one advances very fastly in that stage. So, in part 3, it is
Bhakti Devi's gift of test for neophyte devotees. Neophyte devotees have little attraction to the Lord. To inspire them on the path of Krishna, Bhakti Devi gives them extraordinary test for acts of bhakti, especially for kirtan and preaching.
Thanks to Bhakti Devi, because Bhakti Devi is one of the gopis also, who especially escorts the devotee in these stages from Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti, Nishtha. In these stages, she is the one who escorts us, bestowing a special reciprocation for our devotional service. So here it is mentioned that even in neophyte stage, she gives taste, not just little taste, extraordinary taste. Actually, we are not qualified for that. Still, she gives it, just like Narada boy meditated on Lord Vishnu, and Vishnu gives darshan. That is actually Bhakti Devi's mercy, that we get a glimpse of the higher realms without even qualifying for it, like a sample soap we get. Especially we get special taste for kirtan, dancing and preaching. Some people develop so much taste, they can go mad in doing these activities, as it is explained in this slide. Yeah. New devotees tend to be selfish. They want nothing more than to enjoy, nothing more other than to enjoy the bliss of Krishna consciousness. They develop a very strong taste. Oh, it is so thrilling. And they are ready, sometimes they overexert themselves also. Read that, driven by
a thirst for service, neophytes eagerly engage in the activities of pure devotion, which purify them and inevitably awaken in them attachment to Krishna.
Two things they are attracted to, neophytes: doing heavy duty services and also attaining bliss in their services. So these two they are mad after. Yeah.
As they become free from unwanted habits, achieve steadiness and finally acquire a deep taste, their attachment to Krishna becomes substantial.
Once Mr. Paul was sitting in Prabhupada's lecture and he asked, Swamiji, how can I quickly go over this Anartana Vritti and come to Nishtha stage? Because I want to become steady in my devotional service and also I want to taste that Ruchi stage. And Prabhupada smiled and said, very good. You have a great taste, Mr. Paul. You keep coming for our programs. You have taken the Japamala, now you are chanting. Come to 16 rounds, get initiated. And very soon you will go beyond the Nishtha stage. But I appreciate your eagerness, Prabhupada said. So in this way, sometimes neophyte devotees, after hearing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, are running to Vrindavan or running to see Jagannath, Jagannath Puri. They also develop a very great greed that it appears to them that, you know, going back to Godhead is just around the corner somewhere. It is so easy. It appears for them and they are very enthusiastic. As if the Vaikuntha Arpanam is going to come the same day. Many times they feel great enthusiasm like that. Two functions?
Two functions of taste in stages prior to steady devotion.
Before you come to steadiness, I was telling you that Bhakti Devi gives ruchi. What type of ruchi she gives? And what is the benefit we get from that ruchi? Let us see. This is not ruchi after Nishtha. This is ruchi before attaining Nishtha stage. Yes.
First, it fortifies faith and intelligence, enabling devotees to resist temptation.
If our faith becomes very deep-rooted and intelligence becomes fixed, vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. You know, what is the meaning of ekeha kurunandana here? It is said, you know, sadana malai vayata labhete santosh yaita achara kare bhakti dharma posh. It is said that if somebody is chanting the holy name constantly and he is completely satisfied with whatever prasad, whatever accommodation Krishna arranges, he doesn't complain, he doesn't demand anything, then bhakti dharma posh, he will be nourished by the bhakti devi. It is said. Then another verse. Shraddha shabde vishwasa kohe sudridha nishchai Krishna bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hai. If I do Krishna consciousness, everything else will be taken care. I don't have to worry. People will come, money will come, facilities will come. Everything else will be taken care. I don't have to worry. Let me do my bhakti very nicely. So, in this way, sometimes people think that, you know, if I give time to that person, if I do this, if I do that, I will manipulate him like this, I will manipulate him like that. So many plans the living entity makes, but all the plans are thwarted by material nature. Therefore, we should only plan to be Krishna conscious and make people Krishna conscious. If you can do that, everything else will be taken care. And once you have firm faith in it, that is called Shraddha. So, when Shraddha becomes deep-rooted and intelligence becomes one-pointed in Krishna, tasma deke na manasa bhagavan satpatam patihi. So, then that helps us to resist temptation. So, how do you know your devotee is getting ruchi prior to nishtha? He is having these two things. He has a deep Shraddha and his intelligence is one-pointed. He is not multi-branched. He is not getting diverted, distracted by so many multifarious engagements in this world. Yeah, second.
Second, it destroys ignorance, the root cause of material affection.
That means like putting on a tube light in a dark room. Immediately he becomes enlightened more and more. Actually, the more a devotee becomes enlightened, the more the chance that, you know, he can stick on because he is enlightened, he is getting benefit from the path of devotional service. He is going to go on. Intelligence alone is not enough. Removing ignorance is not enough because he has to become a firmly situated devotee, because the faith, Shraddha, is very important. Sometimes our knowledge is expanded, but expanding knowledge alone is not enough. People many times know things, but they don't believe in them. So we need intelligence, knowledge, at the same time, deep Shraddha also. And these things are gifted by Bhakti Devi to us before even we reach Nishtha stage. So therefore, in second class devotee, has a firm faith in the path of devotion service and devotees and everything. Only thing is his knowledge is not very deep about the scriptures and he cannot present convincing arguments.
Superior spiritual taste enables devotee to endure the urge for sense enjoyment without succumbing.
Yeah.
Lord Krishna explains that spiritual taste gives a superior pleasure, param drishtva, that purifies the devotee's vision and enables them to endure the urge for sense enjoyment without succumbing them.
This I told you, param drishtva nivartate, yeah. And then?
When properly absorbed in unsteady service, devotees experience the wonderful taste inherent in the limbs of devotion. This state test
fixes the consciousness. Yeah, that means the taste that we get even prior to nishtha fixes our consciousness. Therefore, we all need a taste. We can't deny it. It's necessary.
When such absorption recedes
means if our absorption in service is not strong, then again the old strong influence of the modes will come. So devotion service may become bitter. Instead of becoming better, it becomes
bitter.
So devotion service should become better or bitter? Better. And when it becomes bitter, when our absorption in devotion service recedes, that means, you know, in the name of devotional service, sometimes we go for fanfare. We go for increasing our followers. We go for increasing our wealth. We go for controlling others, bossing over other living entities. We go for establishing our influence, our social status and things like that. Then when those material things suck our time and energy, then our spiritual absorption reduces or increases? Reduces. When spiritual absorption reduces, again the modes come. Passion and ignorance, they take over. Then we become lethargic in devotional service. People say, Prabhu, Ekadashi day, but I couldn't chant more than 20 rounds, Prabhu. Day was very busy. So many phone calls came, so many mails came. People say that. And that means their spiritual absorption is reducing, decreasing. So then spiritual life becomes better or bitter? Bitter. So spiritual practice becomes bitter. Syat Krishna Nama Charita Adisa Pavidya Pitta Upatapta Rasana Senaro Chikano. Then the material life starts expanding.
As it typically does in unsteady devotional service, so the devotee's spiritual test. In fact, under the strong influence of the modes, the test may even become bitter. Rupa Goswami responds to this extreme situation with the comforting words in the above cited verse. He says that devotees with purified intelligence who faithfully and patiently execute their sadhana will again taste nectar and eventually rise to the stage of perpetual relish.
There is nothing like a permanent defeat in the path of devotional life. You can always resume back. If you got some little slaps and beats, we may fall, then put some bandage and again get up and go ahead in spiritual life. All of us keep modifying our day, how to spend our day, how to spend our time, where to put in our energy. Is it not true? And we have to make spiritual life better, not bitter. So therefore, that means increase our spiritual absorption. That's the whole point. Materially, if you are not able to succeed also sometimes, we don't have to worry, because spiritual life you have done well, then Krishna will take care. Whenever he feels you need to be given material success also, he will give you. Material success means what? We may build a big temple. We may have, we may be able to influence the people in a big way. We may be able to do many, many big contributions. If one can do, it's very good. If one cannot do, first one should make sure that one's spiritual life is not in doldrum. One's spiritual absorption is not reduced. That's very important.
What does spiritual taste do before and after
steadiness?
Rupa Goswami's example of curing jaundice by regularly consuming sugar candy is most appropriate.
Yeah, that we have explained already. Go to the next one.
Even if chanting at first tastes bitter, devotees must continue to chant. By the curative effect of the holy name, devotees will gradually taste its natural sweetness. When they are cured of their ignorance, they will savor the holy name's nectarian sweetness in full.
Yeah. And then?
Before the state of steadiness, spiritual taste passively holds material attachment at bay. After steady devotion, this taste matures and becomes proactive. Its perpetual sweetness then nourishes attachment for devotional service and for the object of devotion, Shri Krishna.
So, till we reach Nishta, we have to keep all the mayaic forces at bay. Hey, don't trouble me. Most of our energy goes in it's like, imagine there are Maya's agents coming and throwing ropes at you. Hey, don't throw a rope at me. Don't catch me. We are most of the time goes in that only. And there is no enough time for nourishing the soul. But then once we become steady, then what happens? Nourishment of the soul starts in a full blown manner. Because these guys are all gone away. You look around, no one is around. All the kama, krodha, lobha, everybody pulling. Where are those guys? All are gone away. Even when opportunities present themselves for enjoying life, for becoming, we don't become greedy. Even if opportunities present, we don't become lusty. Even if opportunities present itself, because those attractions are gone. So beyond the stage of steadiness, then the soul gets nourishment very nicely, and you can peacefully do that. Like one devotee was telling. In our camp temple, we have a big prasadam hall, There they were washing with soap water. So that devotee was standing on the stage. He called another devotee from the ashram. So the devotee came running from the ashram. Now there was soap water everywhere. As soon as he reached the beginning of the hall, then he understood that I can't run here the way I was running. So then in the soap water, his legs were slipping. So he was most of the time went in making sure that he will not fall. So by the time he reached from one end of the hall to the other end of the hall, it became very late. So in the same manner, till we reach Nishta stage, most of the time goes in making sure we don't slip. But once we become steadily situated, then the soul can get portion, nourishment, because faith is also strong, intelligence also focused, rajoguna, tamoguna are gone far away, tada rajas tamo bhava kamalo bhava adeshye Chetayetaranavidham sthitam sattve prasidati. So we are situated in sattva, then we can peacefully focus nourishment. Yeah. So this is after the steady devotion, the taste matures, and that taste of perpetual sweetness comes, and then we can focus on Sri Krishna very nicely. That means after steadiness comes focus on Krishna. Before steadiness, two things we said. Our intelligence becomes fixed and faith becomes deep. And the anarthas are gradually washed away. These things happen.
Attachment to devotional practices and to Krishna. Before devotees attain the long-awaited release from the material energy, there are two final stages of devotion in practice. Taste, ruchi, and attachment, asakti. In truth, these two are divisions of the same stage of devotion, namely attachment.
Both are attachment. Ruchi is also attachment. Asakti is also attachment, yeah. But why this category is made? In ruchi stage, you will see that our attraction is to the different limbs of devotional service. Like, you know, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedan, Navvidha Bhakti, and also Bhagavata Vidhi, like hearing and chanting. You know, we are attached to the activities of the sadhana in the first stage. And then as the sadhana becomes purer and purer and purer, Bhakti Devi, you will see that she gifts Krishna to us. So when we see the form of Krishna, then in the second phase, our attention is taken from the Vaidhi sadhana bhakti to the attraction of the form of the Lord, then his name, his qualities, his pastimes. That becomes very charming to the heart. That is called asakti stage. Otherwise, both are same only. Both are attachment. One is attachment to the limbs of devotional service at one first stage, and second stage attachment to the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Lord. Yeah. So, yeah.
Should a devotee do seva of his taste or as per authority?
Yeah. So, this is we don't have to read this. And this was the last thing. And then the next topic in the fourth session part, which I did, we discussed only on this topic of role of authority and subordinate. In essence, what he says that in case you have a taste for some service and authority has a different taste. Here, in conclusion, he says, read the last line. In conclusion,
if that which is pleasing to the heart, that which tastes right, runs contrary to the will of authority, it should be rejected.
That's the conclusion. He says, because actually in the path of spiritual life, we should know the goal is to please Guru and Krishna. The goal is not to become pleased oneself. The goal is not to pamper our mind and senses with what we like to do. But we can always present our talents and skills for the sake of engaging in Krishna service, but ultimately whatever is offered to us, we should do, he says, because it is by their pleasure that we are going to make advancement. Yasya prasada bhavat prasado. Yeah.
For effectiveness, should authorities not offer the devotional method by which a man feels satisfaction and joy?
Like this, some people ask the question. Read this.
That said, Vaishnava authorities must be sensitive not to Stifle devotees,
genuine interest in specific services. They should keep in mind Sanatana Goswami's instruction. Whatever, like one example I'll tell you. Recently, one of the disciples of one particular guru, you know, he wanted to start something related to some kind of motivational and yoga and breathing exercises. He wanted to start an institute. So that through that he can attract large volume of people and then he can preach to them and make them Krishna conscious. But the guru completely was opposed to it. The guru told that, you know, this is all mumbo jumbo. You will waste your energy, waste your time. I simply want you to distribute books and I simply want you to preach and make devotees. And you should not waste time in this. Now, guru has clearly told him, and this is it. So he has to just follow. But if he has a taste for doing something, Guru also permits and blesses him. Okay, what you're taking is a good direction. Then he can do. So therefore, it is not that he has a skill. He has done some master in counseling. He has got a very big degree now. And using that, he wants to attract people. His Guru's point is, you attract people through direct preaching and direct book distribution. He has told him like that. So if he doesn't follow the instruction, then he will not come out successful because he is displeasing Guru. And if he goes on thinking, I have, then it will become like Ekalavya type of thing. You do your own thing. You know, you. Therefore, we should always confirm. Like when I met my spiritual master once, and I personally told him that Maharaj, you have this Prayag projects. You have Saraswati for the education and Ganga for the irrigation and agriculture and everything. And Yamuna for the preaching pure devotion service. You have different things. But I said, I am most attracted to studying Prabhupada books and just delivering lectures. Maharaj said, that's more suited for you. He said, we should do that, just that. You know, practice pure devotion service and preach pure devotion service and don't worry about what others say. This is what you should be doing. And I'm just doing that. And you just do that, then that will actually nourish your soul. But if we are doing something on our own, thinking that I have got this skill, I have got that skill. Like Prabhupada very much opposed that two people, Gaur Sundar Das and there was Siddha Swarupananda. They were actually doing breathing exercises and lying on the ground and then Shavasana and all that they were doing. Prabhupada terribly opposed that. He said, we don't need all this. Is this what I taught you? He said, I am teaching you to chant Hare Krishna. And these guys half an hour do all breathing. And lastly, one Hare Krishna they chant. Hare Krishna. Like that they chant. Prabhupada said, this is not what I taught you. So eventually they left ISKCON. You will see that. Yeah, he's having his group now. Still that fellow, he's having a group of his own and doing something. But they are not in ISKCON now. So therefore, we have to make sure that that is the point he's making here. We should keep in mind the superiors, and we may say that they should not stifle our devotion. So what Sanatana Goswami says here, whatever the devotional method by which a man with true special taste feels satisfaction and complete joy, that method is that method saintly authorities deem most excellent and effective for him. It is not only the best of methods but the very aim of his endeavor, he says. Then below that it is mentioned here, devotees inspired by their own feelings often support the reading of Krishna's Braja pastimes, especially narrations of rasa dance, with the argument, it is so pleasing to the heart. Yet, His Divine Grace says that even if such narrations are pleasing, non-liberated souls should not hear them. Although these affairs may be very pleasing both to the conditioned and liberated souls, the conditioned souls should not try to hear them. Now, then you may ask, then why did Prabhupada publish the Krishna book where he has written all these pastimes? But you will see, if you are speaking from Prabhupada's Krishna book, you will see for even while explaining gopis meditating on Krishna's flute, he gives very nice purport there for each point. And nobody will become bewildered by hearing Prabhupada's purport. In fact, it acts as a support for our understanding. But otherwise, one should not talk the intimate exchanges of Krishna and the gopis, dancing in the rasa dance, especially the Pancharasa Adhyay, they are very difficult to handle for a conditioned soul, because conditioned soul has a vision tainted by material ignorance.
Since spontaneous devotion is the goal of Krishna consciousness, why should one be discouraged from doing what feels right?
Read only the red one, you read.
Attraction to the Lord is very rare. A person who has no respect for the rules and regulations of the scriptures and yet thinks himself an unalloyed devotee is merely a proud hypocrite.
Like then Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says, he says that, first of all, if you don't follow what you are told to do in that stage, you become whimsical. And where is the question of such a proud hypocrite? He says that, he is going to develop attraction for the Lord. It is just not possible. Therefore, in the path of spiritual life, Burijan Prabhu had come to Pune. He said there are many qualities Shastras say you should cultivate. Like, for example, humility, tolerance, patience, and so many things like that. He asked, can you say one quality alone? If that quality is there, everything else will follow. Everybody was saying many, many names. And then finally, he said, obedience. He said, if obedience is, therefore, when there is gratitude, there is respect. Where there is respect, there is obedience. And when there is obedience, you have everything.
What should a devotee do? Test runs contrary to the will of authority.
Read the red one.
They spontaneously know the right thing to do. This is because the same spiritual potency from which the sacred words of revealed scripture flows empowers advanced devotees.
Yeah. Why advanced devotees tell you to do something which you may not like to do? Even they themselves don't know where they're telling you to do, because they are inspired and empowered by the Lord within. And sometimes subordinate, like for example, one very beautiful singer devotee in Pune, he got the name Amal Kirtan Prabhu. I was so amazed. Now he is residing in Pune how his guru gave such a name, such a beautiful name. So he gave a sweet name because he is actually a devotee who sings spotlessly, who sings very sweetly. And many times devotees, while receiving names, they don't know why the guru gives a particular name. It's befitting some of his qualities. You will see like that. So how Krishna works through the guru? Guru is great, like a superconductor. He has no resistance in bhakti. For bhakti. So Krishna flows through the guru parampara. In the same manner, when one is working in Krishna consciousness, it is best for one to flow with the instructions given from the authorities. And then eventually one will be given an opportunity. For example, my spiritual master was told to stay in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada told him, you are very attracted to Vrindavan, so I will send you to New Vrindavan, he said. And he stayed in New Vrindavan from 1973 to almost 85 or something. How many years? Almost 12 years or something. Yeah. And he had a desire to come to India and do something in Vrindavan. Maharaj was telling that Prabhupada actually was told to preach in West, but Prabhupada also had a desire to do something in India. Similarly, Maharaj said, I was sent to India for preaching. I preached. Now, I also have a little personal desire to preach in America, he said. And when Prabhupada went to America to preach, he was 69, so I am also 69 now. So I also want to do something in the West, Maharaj was saying. So you will have opportunity when you become a very mature devotee, you become a spiritual master, you become a sannyasi. Then you have certain desires, that then you are very advanced. But in the early stages, it is better for us always to follow. That was what we learned last time. Now we will not read these things. These are all from the previous seminar. Now in today's seminar, you can go through the previous class if you want. This is the first part. 5 is a short part, this thing lecture today. Last part, because with this title is concluding. There are only, I think, 6 slides, I think, in this. And it is very easy now. With all this background for you, this will be very easy now. Ruchi bestows twice spiritual power as Nishta. See, read that.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that at the stage of tests, devotees have twice the spiritual power they had at steady devotion. Boundless relish for the practices of devotion adds new dimensions to their ever-increasing faith.
Actually, devotees cannot explain what is this relish that they are experiencing, but it is a very great relish. Just like first time, imagine when you ate gulab jamun, how you felt. You felt like jumping like a, they say, like a fox jumps. You feel like jumping very happily. There are different items like Shrikhand also, or gulab jamun, or rasagulla, or Giriraj Sonbabdi, isn't there, Puranpoli, or jilebi. When you eat these items, isn't it? They're all of different tastes, different relish. And people don't make any noise, people don't jump much, they just silently eat them and relish them. Is it not true? Every one of us know how they delight. Especially on a festival day, there will be no noise because everybody is relishing prasad. Isn't it a big feast? So in the same manner, you will find when one comes to ruchi, the kind of taste one gets, even if somebody criticizes the devotee, it doesn't affect the devotee at all. Even if Shita Ushna, Sukha Dukkha, Mana Paman, it doesn't affect the devotee at all. On the other hand, if anything is done which is pratikul for Krishna consciousness, which is going against Krishna's pleasure, then the devotee will become like a thunderbolt. Like you can see, Srila Prabhupada, he would become like a thunderbolt when things are not done for Krishna in time, when things are not done properly in Krishna consciousness. Then Prabhupada become like a thunderbolt. But for personally, for his own self, he will not even care a fig. So you find that twice the taste he gets. Go ahead.
Up to steady devotion, faith comes predominantly from intellectual conviction. At test, however, direct perception through relish, pratyaksha, continually reinforces that conviction.
Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. That means, the pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam comes in ruchi stage, beyond the nishta stage. Then having, of course, it's not that you don't have any such taste before, but prior to ruchi, many of the educated people actually keep driving their spiritual life based on intellectual conviction. Now, the problem with intellectual conviction is it is a bit dry. There is no rasa there. Although intellectual titillation is there to some degree, the heart doesn't experience rasa. So, experiencing rasa in the heart is like drinking honey after opening the lid of the honey bottle. you drink. It's like that rasa. And prior to that scholarly endeavor, it's like you're seeing the honey in the bottle, and you're a honeybee licking the honey bottle from outside, going round and round. Hey, here, I have seen it. It's very wonderful. And it is supposed to be very, very delicious. You go in the lid, you come at the bottom, you keep going around. Intellectual people are like that. They are actually, they are able to see also. Therefore, you find oftentimes, Krishna says, yatatohyapikaunteya purushascha vipaschitaha indriyani pramatini haranti prasabam manaha vipaschit is a jnani. A jnani purusha is able to ascertain the truth and viveka buddhi and all he has. What is sat, asat, everything clearly he can see. But even though he is seeing what is right, what is wrong, still he will fall down. Because he is not, his soul is not getting nourishment from the honey of Krishna's lotus feet. He is not able to get that. Therefore, he falls. Otherwise, why do you find Saubarimani falling or Vishwamitra falling? You find that. Whereas Haridasa Thakur never fell. Because Dhautatma Purusha Krishna, Padamulam na Munchati. Tekta Sarva Parikleshair, Pantasva Sharanam Yatha. It is said. If a man, after traveling all over the world, is returning home, Pantasva Sharanam Yatha. You know, imagine, you know, his wife has cooked a very, very big feast. He took a bath. He's relaxing in an easy chair and eating nice food. Now, where else will he go? That is the best place, because he's meeting his children, meeting mother, father, meeting wife, and they're all confidential associates of him. And he's eating nice food and joking, laughing about his journey, having a nice time. So now, if somebody says, this person suddenly left the home and went away, no, it's impossible. Because like a bird, after wandering in the entire sky in the evening, it comes home to relax, and the nest is very cozy and very soft and very nice. Why will he leave the nest? Similarly, Krishna's lotus feet is as soft as the nest for a bird, and it is as natural, like returning to one's own home. Panta swasharanam yata. A tired, weary traveler returns home, is very happy at home. Similarly, a purified soul is like that, situated in Krishna's lotus feet. He doesn't feel any exertion in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness becomes like a very natural thing. For example, one day you fasted till noon. So now they are calling you for prasadam at 12, 12:30. You go with a big plate. Is it difficult for you to consume the plate? Already you have fasted. You are hungry now. You happily eat the plate, isn't it? So Krishna consciousness becomes as natural. So susukam kartam avyayam. He says that it is as natural as that. He says, yeah. Yes, go ahead.
Devotees then test surrender to Krishna through devotion, direct perception and detachment from other things.
That is from that famous verse. Bhakti pareshan bhavo viraktir anyatra chaishatrika ekakalaha prapadyamanasya yatashtadasya stushtipushtikshudapayonughasam. That is the verse. Bhakti gives you three benedictions. Direct perception, detachment from devotion, direct perception and detachment from other things. For example, when you are very hungry, you put the food in the mouth, the tongue feels a taste, the belly feels a satisfaction, and the body feels a strength. Similarly, when you do Krishna consciousness with great ruchi, you know, when you are chanting, when you are hearing, when you are associating with devotees, taking darshan of the deities, you are preaching, you are distributing books. So these are all giving you taste. You experience taste in doing that. You get thrill in that. And when you keep doing it, you get satisfaction, which means you don't hanker for lusty activities. You don't hanker for wealth, lust, greed, anger. That hankering is not there. Satisfaction is there in the belly. Then thirdly, strength means one cannot keep quiet. One wants to give Krishna to others. One feels, I got this wonderful Krishna. Why should I keep him with only myself? Let Krishna also be available for others. Radharani feels the same thing. She feels that, oh, Krishna is so wonderful. I am sitting in Jula with him and enjoying, all gopis are pulling the jula. Now let me put Lalita there. Let me put Vishakha there. But Lalita, Vishakha hesitate. They don't go. But Radharani feels that somehow she convinces them to sit. And when Radharani pulls the jula, and Lalita and Krishna are sitting, Radharani feels happiness how much times? 10 million times more happiness she feels. Similarly, putting Radha and Krishna and the jula and swinging them, the gopis feel how much times? 10 million times more happiness they feel. Similarly, a devotee who has received Krishna consciousness, he definitely feels 10 million times happiness to see a new boy coming into Krishna consciousness. One time devotees were telling me, Prabhu, for Sankalp camp, we have only 5 boys have come to the temple. We expected 50 boys. I said, even one boy is enough. If one boy is ready to sit and listen for 2 days, most welcome. I said, because he's a good soul. He's searching for Krishna. He has wandered around and come here, searching for Krishna. So, then we will feel great delight. One time I was giving a camp for the boys in the Bibi Hajj. Some people came, outside people. Our people immediately ran and told, "Hey, this program is not for you. Get out. Close the door," they were saying. I said, don't deprive them of opportunity to hear about Krishna. If you are going to tell them no here, then you should tell them yes somewhere else. At least in the temple hall, something should be given for them. Because some soul is coming, after wandering in 8.4 million species, poor soul is stumbling into your hall. Some people are talking about Krishna, he's having hunger for Krishna. And then you slap him and drive him out. Krishna will catch your ear. You'll say, rascal, he is coming to my temple, you are driving him out, isn't it? So, actually, you can literally see souls thirsty for Krishna, hungry for Krishna. Even people who are asking for food, they are actually hungry for Krishna only. And we can give them prasadam and gift Krishna to them. Like that. So you can gift a book to them and give Krishna to them. So in this way, we were hungry people, we became satisfied. So we have to make others also happy. Last one, the relish.
The relish devotees perceive as the advance in devotional service is ever increasing. Still at the stage of test, two phases are visible. In the first, the devotee's test depends on the material quality of their devotional practices, and in the second, it does not.
You wonder, what is this material quality of devotional practice? It means, for example, in Ruchi also there are two parts. In the first part of Ruchi, what happens? If somebody sings very sweet kirtan, like some of our devotees sing very beautifully. Amiya Madhusudan Prabhu was singing Mangalarati one of the days. So sweetly he sings. What is his name? Prashanna. Hriday Madhav Prabhu. Hriday Prabhu. And we have our Harisundar Prabhu, and Namal Ketan Prabhu, very sweet singers, cuckoos of our Pune temple here, isn't it? So, when they sing, everybody say, he's a singer, wonderful, everybody. So, when somebody sings well, then only people feel ecstasy, to dance also. And devotees dance like anything, you will see, if somebody sings nicely, correct? No? And also the singer should be singing according to Tala also, proper Tala should be there. So, there is Raga, there is Tala and there is Swara. But some people sing Apaswara. Apaswara? Somewhere it goes. In some other direction Raga goes. It's not coming properly. So other devotees feel uneasy. Similarly, some people cannot play Kartal properly. The beat goes off beat in Kartal. Tala, Raga, Swara, everything goes off beat. And devotees feel very difficult to digest, especially devotees like me, who have some sense of Raga. It becomes very difficult to tolerate people who sing without proper raga, correct? No? So, here it's saying the material quality of devotion service. Similarly, some people will only connect to hear the lecture if the lecture giver is a very extraordinary speaker. If the speaker is a very excited speaker and a thrilling speaker and, advanced speaker, and or he can give you a lot of, fun and everything, then people connect. Otherwise, people think, who is a speaker today? Okay. Then they will do their own thing. Correct? Now, you've seen that, no? So, in the Ruchi also, the first part is, you actually appreciate things connected to Krishna when there is a, according to your taste, it's matching. Second one is, anybody, like our Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur wanted one of his disciples to sing Sri Rupa Manjari Pada song when he was about to leave the body. And that devotee is not known for singing. He is an ordinary devotee. But the devotee had a very great devotional attitude. So he called him. He told him to sing. He might have seen, there is one, His Holiness Shukadev Maharaj from Kurukshetra. Now he is currently in South India, also in Eldur, he is preaching. So he used to come to Pune Yatra. He used to come. So he will take that cordless mic and lift the hand and he will jump up and down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this he will do 2 hours. Can you imagine? And there are practically 50 devotees around him jumping up and down the same tune only. Now what are they relishing is not just the raga. What are they appreciating? His devotion. So much devotion. So much he is convinced. So much devotion. So much love with which he is singing. So actually then when the ruchi goes to a higher stage, you don't care about the raga, thala, all those things. You see the devotion. This explains the phrase. Material quality of devotional practice refers to that. Like, you know, how melodiously they chant Hare Krishna, how systematically they present Bhagavatam, how artistically they decorate the deity, or how intellectually people use the play of words sometimes and all that people see. This kind of taste is found in most devotees below the stage of asakti. These devotees have not yet fully realized that Krishna is attracted by devotion, yomi bhakti aprachati, not necessarily by how devotion is packaged. So there are two things in our devotion service. Devotion plus packaging. Krishna is attracted to which one? Devotion. Because he is Bhava Grahi Janardana. Such devotees are like guests with a weak appetite who inquire from their host, what is the preparation? If you say, Prabhu, will you take prasadam? They ask, okay, but what prasadam? Because prasadam means rice or sabji. Okay, that is there in our home also. Isn't it? People may say like that. But if you say, oh, Prabhu, this Rajabhog. Rajabhog. Okay, come. Chalo, we'll sit. Prabhuji, but 11 o'clock only you ate. I saw you eating today. No problem. Rajabhog, even after 1 hour also we can eat. People eat. So, there are people with weak appetite and strong appetite. So, if you have a weak appetite, then you will look for material quality of devotional service. If you have a strong appetite, oh, you don't care for anything. If somebody is doing genuinely, you are appreciative. Yari then?
Should we enhance our material expertise in Krishna consciousness for serving Guru and Krishna better?
Yeah, the answer is given here below. If you see, the best, second paragraph, if you see, the best combination is Shuddha Bhakti along with expertise. That is most pleasing to Krishna. But, you know, devotee should not think that without material expertise, I cannot render devotional service. It's not like that. Krishna sees only Bhava. But devotees also should try to render devotion service with expertise also. One of the names of devotee, one of the 26 qualities is Daksha. Devotee is expert. He's supposed to do perform expertly also. As they hear more about Krishna, the more they note the loving proficiency with Krishna's eternal associates and serve their beloved. This is because the love inspires devotees to offer to Krishna the best of everything. So because a devotee not only renders service, he wants to improve the quality of his service. How I dress the deity. And imagine, say, I have to put a turban or, you know, some devotees I've seen, they don't know how to put the turban. So they will do every other dressing. Then they will go to the best pujari and say, Prabhu, if you don't mind, can you help me put a beautiful turban? And the pujari will come and put. And others will ask, hey, how did you put such a nice turban for Krishna today? You know, I mean, for Gaur Nitai today. They say, Prabhu, everything is done by me, but except putting the dupatta and the turban, I called one special devotee. So when I heard the devotee, I really felt my heart melting because, you know, he knows he can't do it, but at least he's taking help from another devotee to make the Lord look beautiful, you see. So in this way, as devotees grow in devotion service, they try to make their offering to Krishna also better. But last para is very important. However,
devotees should always be careful that in becoming expert in activities like kirtan, they do not get carried away by the music and forget the essence of kirtan, spontaneous attraction for the holy name.
Yeah, many a time people like to lead the kirtan in the mic because it gives them a sense of Swami Bhav, Purusha Bhav, that, you know, I am leading and everybody else is following. That's one thing. Another thing, if one sings very sweetly, then one may get a lot of SMSs and appreciation messages from various devotees. And they may get appreciation from everyone, brahmacharis, boys, congregation. Oh, Prabhu, your class was wonderful, your kirtan was wonderful. So many times our preaching vigor and our kirtan doing vigor could also be having a very big material counterpart. Material counterpart means there is a little spiritual component also, that I want to please Guru and Krishna, I want to help Prabhupada in his mission, I want to, you know, save the suffering souls and all that, which is very good. But sometimes that may be a small part, 10-20%, and 80% may be fruity mentality. How do you know that? If fruity mentality takes a major portion of our consciousness, then you will see that we will not actually get taste in devotion service eventually, because the material counterpart will, may over a period of time, it will make a person give up devotion service or reduce devotion service. You will see that. Because the fruity mentality may be all right in the beginning, but in the long run, the fruity mentality component should reduce. And our sincerity, genuineness, in a pleasing Guru, pleasing Krishna, that component should be increased. Therefore, whether it is kirtan, whether it is class, whether it is any other skill, Like Sanskrit learning is good. When the Sanskrit learning helps you to read the Tika of the Acharyas and you develop more love for Krishna. Otherwise, you become a more or less like a scholar and like Devananda Pandit, and we don't develop the devotional qualities. It's not no good. Mm-hmm.
Singing and dancing should not be according to tempo, beat and tune, but according to one's natural rising of transcendental emotions.
Like that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I am not saying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So nowadays they are doing this, what you call fly mob, they call it, fly mob in Bangalore and other places. What they are doing, they are taking some devotees and training them to move their bodies in a very unified way, kind of thing. Like they practice also. Like, you know, they make a circle outside, circle inside. On the outside, people come inside, inside, people go outside, you know, and they move the hands and everything like this. And in the shopping mall and all, they are doing this. Where in the shopping malls, in the top 1,000 people are watching down, devotees doing that. And they clap hands. Hey, see the formation, how they are doing formations, how they are moving their bodies. Govinda bolo, Hari Gopala bolo. Like this, they move with different hands, different kinds of things, you know. Like this and all the different things they do like that. It's like a practiced kind of thing. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't approve of it. You can read that.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given much guidance in this regard. Mm-hmm. He writes, the preaching of the name shall be performed with khol and kartalas.
Khol is this one, mridanga and kartala, yeah.
Accompanied by favorable discourses and public lectures. At the time of chanting, one may dance in ecstasy. The singing of the glories of the holy name and dancing in ecstasy should correspond to the devotee's spontaneous emotion.
See here, it should correspond to what? Our singing and dancing to the spontaneous emotion that arises in the heart. That means, you know, like when you become angry, eyes become bloodshot. And then the tone increases, volume. And then if you become more angry, even raise the hand also. If one becomes even more angry, one may slap. If one's anger is uncontrollable, one kicks also. That's the last one, correct, no? That is, that means a person's external behavior is corresponding to the internal anger, isn't it? In the same manner, I am, for example, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Over a period of time of chanting, it builds up energy. And then there's a smile on the face of the devotee. And the face becomes littered up like a lotus flower. Then a devotee feels so much, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So one chants raising the arms like this. His Holiness Radhagun Maharaj was telling that in many villages and all, even now, if you are giving a lecture, you talk about some particular character that he bowed down, then everybody will bow in the lecture, like that. So people completely connect with the speaker, like that they will say. You've seen that in villages. They connect to the speaker very powerfully. They become absorbed spiritually, emotionally like that. So it comes from the soul. Very spontaneously it comes. Sometimes they hear something. Like once I was telling that, you know, one very big housing colony where the houses were like 5 crores. They were not allowing. I showed the name of the owner. And then immediately they opened the gate. Similarly, I said, by showing the name of the owner, the gate of the colony opened. Similarly, by chanting the name of the Lord, the Vaikuntha door will be opened. Everybody, because when they clap hands, it just comes from the heart. Hari said a wonderful point. Vaikuntha ka dwar kul jayega, hum naam japenge, bas Hari bol. It comes from the heart, it is all right. But otherwise, go ahead.
One should avoid excessive preoccupation with musical tune and beat. The music and tune should have an effect on the heart of the listeners, similar to the action of borax in the melting of gold. It is good to express one's feelings for the Lord through song and dance according to one's natural rising of transcendental emotions.
Yeah. Therefore, too much of formation in dancing and all is not appreciated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur here, because the whole idea is actually the singer along with the mridangam player should be with the singer, kartal players, mridangam players, everybody. And all devotees enveloping them, and everybody jumps up. And then in Swami step. This is the kind of dancing you see in Prabhupada's many places. They flow. Therefore, Mahaprabhu's times, there were multiple circles. Why? Because one lead singer, one lead dancer takes care of one small group of devotees, and then there are many like that, so that nobody is spaced out far away.
Ruchi driven by selfless taste is very intense. Attraction driven by selfless taste is very intense. Sufficiently so to alarm materialist who think that religion should be expressed in a subdued manner.
Sometimes people wonder, right? These people play a vampire so loudly, huh? And these guys are singing Hare Krishna so loudly. And look at this, because sometimes a newcomer comes to temple and sits in a yoga posture. Yeah? Suddenly, you know, when I used to be in Bombay, before 12:30, some fellows will be sitting in yoga posture. And 12:30, devotees will come, all our devotees. Everybody will assemble at 12:25. Kimajaya Gaura Chande Arati Keshova. Big vampire this size. Rishidam Prabhu would beat that. Huh? And that fellow who is doing yoga, huh? Yoga posture fellow, he would be shocked. So new people are alarmed. What is this? Now he is only seeing the beginning of the Kirtan. Now he has to wait some more time. Gaurange arati ke shoba jagadana mana loba. When you dance, everybody would be coming towards the center, going away from the center and jumping. Hari bol, hari bol, hari bol. People completely give up their shame, eh? In Kirtan. So when newcomer sees, and he will be glued to the wall. Eh? And looking like this, you know, but the same fellow after 1 year, he will be jumping also like that. You will see that. Huh? So, therefore, he is saying that you can alarm the newcomer materialist. Yeah, then
the opulence of real taste allows devotees to condemn their past sins and lament their previously motivated devotion. Bhaktya Bhas, hearts overflowing with repentance, they sing beautiful songs like those of Narottam Das.
See, two very, very important things he is saying. As the ruchi increases, what happens? They condemn their past sins by repentance. And then they also lament that, oh, I did a motivated devotion like Dhruva Maharaj. Like for example, Ajamila condemned his past sins and Dhruva condemned his motivated devotion. Correct, no? So both of them condemned. That's what he is saying. Hari Hari Vifale Janam Gavainu. So I will not sing this because we have very little time now. It is a beautiful song it is. So one actually laments about his past sins as well as motivated devotion.
What happens to devotees in Ruchi after hearing Krishna's glories from Mahabhagavatas? Wandering here and there, devotees intoxicated by Ruchi cry and cry until they come into the presence of Vaishnavas discussing topics of their beloved Lord. As they listen to the nectarian words of Mahabhagavatas, devotees' distress flies to a distant place, and they drink the Lord's glories like
parched chatika birds. See, one important thing in the stage of ruchi, see, although it said you get ruchi, there is also longing also and greed. For example, you know, when you eat gulab jamun, you get taste. But after eating gulab jamun, then what happens? You want more, huh? It's not that, you know, they gave you two and you ate and then you keep quiet. No, you feel like eating more. Same with ruchi also. The more one gets ruchi taste, one soul gets excited. Oh, Krishna is so wonderful. His form is so wonderful. His dilas are so wonderful. His gunas are so wonderful. He goes and tells everybody, hey, Prabhu, did you hear Krishna is so wonderful? Prabhu, did you hear this pastime? Did you hear that pastime? One is talking. And one also doesn't become satisfied with that. Now I want to know more of Krishna. I want to surrender more to Krishna. What I am doing is simply useless. I am a big sense gratifier, like that a devotee feels. Therefore, he runs here and there. And for such a heart, which is like a chataka bird, thirsting for more and more Krishna, then when Mahabhagavatas glorify Krishna, pure devotees, that is exactly like a healing balm for the devotee. Go ahead.
The discourse finished. Such fortunate devotees enter into a celestial festival of singing and dancing, a festival that amazes even the demigods. While they chant Krishna's names, Bhakti Devi empowers them to spontaneously meditate on his qualities and form. Gradually, Krishna's qualities, his kindness, compassion and partiality towards his servants expand into their hearts and arrive at. They are attractive to him. In this way, the potencies of the name, form, qualities of Krishna
and rivet their attraction to him. You know riveting? You know when there are two sheets, you put a rivet. If you hit the top also, it becomes flat outside, bottom also the rivet becomes flat. So now the two sheets cannot be removed, which means, you know, you are riveted in Krishna's lotus feet. You will never leave him. Yeah.
In this way, the potencies of the name, form and qualities of Krishna combine to nurture the devotee's taste and attachment. When such attachment becomes fully reposed in the Lord, it brings about a kind of obsession. Great souls
called Asakti. Ragamai bhakti rahaya ragatmika nama kaha ashuni lubdahaya kona bhagyavana. Thus, devotional service, which consists of raga, deep attachment, is called ragatmika, spontaneous loving service. If a devotee covets such a position, he is considered to be most fortunate, he says. So, now, already it's time now. Let me see. Only one question? How many questions are there? Okay. Here is the question. You mentioned control of senses is the primary characteristic of devotional service. Yesterday I was having discussion with some devotees. The question is that if daily our management serves opulent food and sweet, so accepting and eating that is within control of senses, accepting only prasad is control of senses. One can eat mahaprasad only and it is control of senses, or should one be careful not to eat sweets, fried and other opulent food, even if provided by temple and prasad? Even if provided by temple, it's no good to regularly eat. We already said a devotee can eat such opulent foods once in a week for brahmacharis, and fried sabjis once in 15 days. So we set a standard in our temple, and that is the safest thing for devotees to do. And over and above that, if somebody eats, then you have to deal with your senses. Actually, it's a very scientific phenomenon. And the Prabhupada says that when you eat opulent foods, the belly becomes uncontrolled. When belly is uncontrolled, genitals become uncontrolled. Then when genitals become uncontrolled, then one needs a marriage. When one gets married, ato griha kshetra sutta apta vitte janasya mohoyam ahamameti. Then one has to build a house, then one has to get a car, one has to do this, that, so many things like that. So a brahmachari should not degrade himself. And as far as grihasthas are concerned, there is some more lenience for the grihasthas. But even grihasthas have to be very careful, that if they become too uncontrolled, then they will also suffer the effects of overeating and everything in devotional service. Sometimes Ekadashi days are crucial for preaching or some temple management situations. In such situation, can we chant an alternate day to compensate? Wonderful idea. I also do that. Actually, what I am doing nowadays, Ekadashi day, I am trying to keep myself free till 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. Then you rise at 2 a.m. in the morning, 2:30. Then you can chant 16 rounds before Mangalarti. Then 16 rounds after Mangalarti. So 32 are over. Then once you 9:30 class gets over. So 9:30 to 4 more hours means how much it comes to? 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30. So 1:30 your rounds are over. At the most 2. Then after 2, you can have a lot of preaching engagements after that. Yeah. That's all. It's not going up. How to... Okay. Here is the question. Most time is one devotee is asking. Most time is spent in pre-nishtha stage. Most time is spent in fighting anartha. Then how does deep faith and firm intelligence come about? Actually, although we are fighting with our anarthas, we also should have great affection and respect and obedience to superiors from whom we are deriving inspiration. Actually, that faith comes from persons. It's not going to come very easily. We have to have a faith in persons from whom we are drawing that faith. And the intelligence becomes more and more enhanced and increased by regular study of scriptures and hearing of lectures, by these two things. So, yes, we are taking our time to fight with anarthas, but for fighting anarthas also, we are taking support of these two, intelligence and faith. Side by side, tani sarvani samyamya, he says, no? Tani sarvani samyamya, fighting that Bakasura, Bhima was beating him. And when he would fall far away, by the time he comes back, yukta asita matparaha, he was also eating from the cart. So we should do both. You know, anarthas is not that every moment anarthas attacking. Anarthas attack you, and then like we say, time of calm, time of storm. When storm comes, you tackle it. When it is calm, then you take in. Shastric study, associating with superiors who actually give us faith, like that. One new boy is suffering from throat problem since a long time. More he chants, more he coughs. So came with alternative that reading Bhagavad Gita bhajans as absolute on chanting, and hence alternative chanting till he recovers. Can you guide how to share exclusive importance? No, he doesn't have to chant with throat. He can chant, keep his eyes open, stand and chant in the mind. He can do that. If he closes mind, then he'll go to sleep. You were mentioning how Bhakti Devi gives taste to neophyte and how taste is important aspect for neophyte. But then how does one get taste? Does one become a taste monger and what is the formula? Yeah. Actually, taste comes easily through two things, it is said. You remember that one slide I showed? Here if you see. The taste one I was explaining. Here I think. Where is that Kirtana? Okay, actually the neophytes, it was mentioned about. Next one. Correct. Especially Kirtana and preaching. In these two things, if you do vigorously, taste will come for a neophyte before the Nishtha stage. He mentions that. In these two things. Do a lot of kirtan, go on Harinam Sankirtan, and the temple also you do a lot of kirtan, more hours of kirtan, which is easy. If you are a singer, you like to sing, and also preaching also, struggle hard to preach, vigorously preach, that will give more taste, yeah, prior to Nishtha stage. And then here is the question. Thank you very much for your wonderful explanation about attitude while entering service to Guru. We find how Srila Prabhupada meditated and elaborated very widely on the instructions given by Guru. Same thing we find in life and other Prabhupada disciples and also in your life, Prabhu, where you expanded each and every instruction about the preaching given by GBCs, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, etc. I really get inspired by the letter of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to you and how you expanded on such each of the instruction of Maharaj on expanding his preaching. Sometimes we are given broad instruction where one has to apply his own thoughts and intelligence to serve. One has to plan for his own services or time. Many times we may not be able to consult service authorities. How to ensure that what decisions we are taking in service are just due to our skills and talents, or is it in line with Guru? Okay, actually we have to demand the time of superiors, undoubtedly. Whenever you are not very confident of what you are doing, and also they have to time to time do a performance appraisal with you and then appreciate you for your services. That gives you encouragement and taste in your service. You know? And you have to report them. I do a lot of replies of my mails. If you see, for 40-50 mails I reply in a day, more than half of the mails are appreciation mails of devotees doing service. Not only in Pune, in Hyderabad, in America, many places people write. And not only people who are directly in these three temples, but even other temple people write to me also about their activities. I appreciate them, congratulate them, and share with them my ideas also. So actually, it's very important for us to connect with superiors, and that's where your connection with Guru is ensured, because many times you don't get to meet Guru directly. So you need one superior to whom you are reporting regularly and deriving that encouragement. And that also will ensure that the direction you are taking is perfect. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked his grammar students to find another teacher when he started getting symptoms of love of God? Instead, they could be told not to waste time in such activities as it won't help to achieve highest destination. No, actually, there are some Brahmanas who may not want to become Vaishnavas immediately. And they may want to learn grammar and just be a Nyaya Shastra teacher kind of thing. And amongst the Brahmanas, there are only a small fraction who may want to become Vaishnavas, which are very rare. Therefore, Mahaprabhu was the Nyaya teacher before. He pulled out. Like for example, in a school, all children will not become Krishna devotees. Those who want to become, naturally will follow that Krishna teacher, Krishna conscious teacher. The Mahaprabhu is leaving the thing and going. So those who want to be Krishna conscious will go with him. Correct, no? Yeah. And as you mentioned, that neophyte need taste, but one has to be obedient and follow the authority and do the service given by them, even if it is not as per his liking. Correct. So what should a neophyte do for getting taste in such cases when already exposed to authority but still engaged in service not to his liking? Actually, he can do service of his liking in the personal time, other than the time in which services are allotted to him. Now, so that it's called as, there are three types of diseases. There are prohibited diseases, then there are services offered by your superiors, and services that you like to do. So prohibited should be totally avoided. And you do services allotted by the authorities for that pleasure. And in the personal time, you can learn harmonium, you can do singing and all that. You can do in the personal time. Camp, from Camp Temple is the question. Because you heard in the lecture that only sadhana and hearing and chanting cannot give spiritual advancement. We need mercy. So how to work on that part? Actually, mercy comes from vertically, first of all, because you get from like ascending service and descending mercy. So even you are chanting and reading and hearing, that is also service. One shouldn't think it's not. That is also service. And that is actually service for you to make yourself stable in spiritual life. In my group, you know, whenever I take a program for the students and voices, or even for the brahmacharis and all, I tell them that you should read Prabhupada books like this, you should hear like this. If they do it, I feel great pleasure. So then I meet my spiritual master. I tell him that these are the things I am prescribing for the devotees. And they are all reading very well and they are very stable, Maharaj, all these years. And he becomes happy also. So in this way, even the sadhana, hearing and chanting, if somebody is very enthusiastic in doing it, it is not ordinary. Once he said, Dayaram Prabhu was telling me, Dayaram Prabhu, if any brahmachari in Calcutta is ready to chant all day 3 lakh names like Haridas Thakur, you can tell them, I will give them free prasadam 3 times a day. I will give them accommodation. They can live in our temple and just chant. At least let there be one devotee like that who will bring purification to the whole temple. He was telling, Dayaram Prabhu was telling. Of course, I'm not saying all of us should start chanting 3 lakh names, but what I am saying is, we need janma sarthaka kori kara para upakar. We need a good balance. We need a good balance, especially those who are saffron devotees. You know, you could take half a day for yourself, up to 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. You can take time after the morning program. You have time for your reading, preparation, everything. And then second half of the day, we can give out yourself more. The more you have spent years, then you are like a fighter pilot. It's very necessary because many congregation brahmacharis boys are deriving inspiration from you. So your stability is very vital. If you are not stable, so many others will become unstable. So therefore, those who are seniors, they have to. Therefore, the Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani I am taking. It's very important because we have to learn how to fine tune our sadhana and increase our ecstasy in spiritual life. Because the more we are ecstatically situated, you may not even know how many people are positively becoming influenced by your ecstasy in devotional service. And those who are younger should do more physical service. Those who are newly joined, they should work hard, slog like anything. First, you work with the body first. Then you become a manager or a department head. Then you work with your mind. Then when you become a saffron devotee, work with your intelligence, studying Shastra, you serve Krishna with your intelligence. And then when you become even more advanced, then you engage your body, mind, word, soul, everything in Krishna service. Then you go to a point where you are giving vision to others, guidance to others, and mostly others do, and you pray to Lord for inner direction and pray to Guru Maharaj for guidance, and then you give direction to others, vision and direction and guidance, what is right, what is wrong. Then that's what we have to teach, because other things many others will do. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki, Pavar Bhaktavinda ki.